All right, here we are back, and things in Ukraine getting worse, and no surprise, you all know that. It has gone to the point now where Russia seemingly is going to be forced to do something of a very serious and dramatic nature. Otherwise, what will happen is these, I don't know how you pronounce it, I think it's ATACMS, the American longer-range missiles, are being sent over there now. The Abrams tanks are there. And what the Ukrainians are going to do is they'll sit back pretty much on a stable front line, which is what it's been, honestly, since, what, a year and a half now? It hasn't moved much. No big changes of real estate. And they're going to sit back all over Western Ukraine or Ukraine and lob longer range missiles and do more damage to Russia proper, certainly to Crimea, with American spotting, reconnaissance help. That's what you're going to see. And the brutality will become worse. We've already, between the two sides, we already know pretty much that many in the Ukrainian military are ruthless barbarians. They've done hideous things. Report last week of Russian POWs being forced to march through a minefield to clear it. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Is it true? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. Look how many attacks have been made against civilian targets in the Donbass. Countless numbers. And I think during 2014 to the start of this special military operation, over 15,000 civilians in the Donbass were slaughtered by the Ukrainian military. There's a lot of people. And that occurred over a period of years, 20, about 8 years, I think, something like that. Anyhow, Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. We're heading toward, obviously, something big, Mitchell. Tell us what you see.
Yes. Okay, well, I want to talk about how World War III is likely to develop. Okay. And we can somewhat predict the future by examining the past and present trends. If we
Right.
can look at them from all of the players' point of view, we can get an idea of where we were heading in history. We can never figure that out if we listen to our leaders and their spokesmen and the mainstream media. For example, these long-range missiles and these cluster bombs, our military people, they know those are going to be used on innocent civilians. They know that, and they send them anyway.
Let me
Okay.
underscore that, Mitch. This is
Yes.
important. The U.S. says we've talked to the Ukrainians, and they are absolutely forbidden to use the. That's a load of crap. They know damn well what's going to happen with them, as Mitchell just said. So thank you for saying that. That's crucially important. It's not us. The O'Biden regime and its NATO allies and the UK GCHQ maniacs know damn well what's going to happen. And they plan it. And they actually cause it to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that when the World Economic Forum says they need to reduce the population to only like 500 million people on this planet, they're serious. And they have control of people. They pay the campaign finances, and they bribe these people in governments all over the world to make this plan happen. This plan is World War III. We went over it with the Rockefeller thing from back in the 60s of wars and famines and blah, 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 you know. It's the same plan over and over again, and they are implementing it. So World War III will be the worst possible time in human history. It will follow the pattern of war, refugees, famine, and pestilence. It is hell that is coming. So the question is, how is World War III likely to play out? So let me start with the African theater of war, because that may be the first theater of war. So World War III is likely to start in Africa because Western leadership, NATO, EU, are clueless when it comes to understanding Africa. They never think to wonder how the people there think about things. This is because the West wants to dictate how Africans are supposed to see things. But, you know, Africa's been there for a long time. They're not a new civilization. They see things the way they see them, okay? They are not the child of Western ideology, of Western culture. They have their own culture and their own way of thinking, okay? So, you know, just not going to see it. If you are pushing your narrative on somebody, you will not even consider that they may have their own narrative and that it might not jive with ours.
Right.
Our leadership never thinks about that. And the former French colonies, they are tired of French economic exploitation. And the former English, Portuguese, Spanish, and German colonies, they are tired of the cultural exploitation. You see, America is Babylon the Great. We are a service economy, and our major export is entertainment industry. Our movies and music are saturated with woke and LGBT culture.
Our major export. Wow.
We need other nations to accept our decadent art and music, so we force LGBT culture on them at the tip of a bayonet. Our government sanctions Uganda for its anti-gay laws. Then we go a step further, and our State Department contacts private businesses and industry and tells them to stop investing in and doing business in Kenya because of its anti-gay laws. African nations despise this. They have their own culture and society, and they resent the woke white people trying to impose their gay culture on them. The woke see LGBT culture as human progress. The Africans see it simply as unnatural and immoral. They see it as a sign of decadence. They do not like the idea of going decadent before they even develop. Okay, they're not a modern developed country, and we expect them to go decadent right now. Okay, what is to decay, they wonder. They see this as Western racism. They wonder that in view of the long-running AIDS epidemic in Africa, why the West wants to impose open LGBT culture on them, which will only make the epidemic worse. The West hates black people. That's the way they see it. However, the most hatred is towards France. Last year, President Macron went on a tour of Africa to revitalize the relationship. Almost every African leader called Macron a liar to his face at the meetings when they had the meetings ended and they have the press conference. Macron was trying to spin the relationship between France and Africa as one where France is the savior and helper of Africa. Macron was not being respectful of the nations he was visiting. He was trying to impose his own woke worldview on the Africans, but they were not buying it. Macron's arrogance has had an effect in just 1 year. White travelers across the Sahel from Chad to Guinea speak of how the people have turned unfriendly and hostile towards white tourists. Government officials make life difficult, and if you are attacked, no one will come to help you. The people of the Sahel are very angry with France and the United States for creating Islamic terrorism in their lands to destabilize them. There were even massive protests in Nigeria blaming France for creating Boko Haram, which massacres Christians in their land. So the people of Niger demanded that French forces leave their country. Amazing to them is not only the French refusing to leave, saying that the current government of Nigeria has no authority to tell them to leave, but that the European Union and even the United Nations back France up. They, of course, see the United Nations as the ultimate woke institution. Last year, Mali ordered UN forces out of Mali. In the Central African Republic, UN forces had to leave because UN soldiers were raping little kids as a matter of course. The UN was accused of taking sides there. Last month, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, people in the eastern provinces, rioted against UN troops. They complained that these soldiers have sex with their kids, they actually protect the terrorists operating there, and they know there will never be a peace as long as the UN is involved. So massive protests broke out, and hundreds of unarmed protesters were shot in the streets. Africa is a powder keg. We just don't get a lot of news on it, and so we don't see it. This week, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger signed a treaty called the Alliance of Sahel States. This acronym in English, of course, is ASSS, but in French it's AES, standing for Alliance des États du Sahel. The French word for ass is call. Okay, so they didn't see that coming. So President Assimi Goïta of Mali said on September 16th, "I have today signed with the heads of the state of Burkina Faso and Niger the Liptako-Gourma Charter establishing the Alliance of Sahel States to establish a collective defense for the benefit of all our people. Article 6 of this treaty states the purpose of the alliance is to continue historic struggles waged by the African people and countries for political independence, human dignity, and economic emancipation. And so any attack on the sovereignty and territorial integrity of one or more contracted parties will be considered an aggression against all of the other parties." The Russian SVU informed Niger, the SVU in Russia, that's their foreign intelligence thing. The FSB is their internal, and SVU is the foreign or international intelligence. So they informed Niger that the United States intended to assassinate the junta leadership. China sent 300 state-of-the-art armored personnel carriers to Mali. They're actually pretty plush. They're nice. The Russian so Mali and Burkina Faso have sent armored vehicles to Niger and have already stationed military aircraft in Niger. In addition, Burkina Faso has already sent troops to Niger. On the 19th, Niger closed its border with Benin and sent troops to the border because France was storing war supplies in Benin. Niger also pulled out of a military pact with Benin. Also, the government of Niger declared the American, French, and German ambassadors persona non grata. This is the second formal request for the French ambassador to leave. France complains that Niger is holding a French citizen hostage. He was arrested for anti-Niger agitation among the French living in Niger. This man has no diplomatic immunity at all. France will use this as a reason for war. So aside from sending supplies to ECOWAS nations, France in the past month has had their Islamic terrorists attack and kill over 50 people in Burkina Faso. These were terrorists that France had in jail. They let them out so they could attack. They attempted also to overthrow the widely popular Captain Ibrahim Traoré in Burkina Faso and overthrow Ali Bongo in Gabon to forestall an independence coup and threatened to overthrow the government in the Republic of the Congo, Brazzaville, if they did not obey France. So I'm going to be talking about the Congos. There's two Congos. There's Congo Brazzaville, which used to be a French colony. It's north of the other Congo. Then the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which used to be a Belgian country, a colony, and it's a very, very big country. And so one's called, sometimes they just call it Congo Brazzaville and Congo Kinshasa. Okay. So, meanwhile, the war in Africa has already began in the Sudan. Ukrainian and Russian troops are actively in combat there. If you remember, I reported that Ukraine has a commando battalion in Sudan intended to carry out assassinations of African leaders and blow up African infrastructure. Well, they are bogged down fighting Russian troops in Khartoum at the moment. History will see this as the official beginning of World War III in Africa. Why will there be war in Africa? Because Macron is losing its colonies, and Biden must have a win in order to make it look like he can win an election. Biden will absolutely win the 2024 rigged election because it has absolutely nothing to do with how many people would actually vote for him. He only needs excuses of why he won, and that's what they're looking for. Niger can give him a win, he thinks, because it is a small, weak nation. Sort of like Reagan invading Grenada on October 25th, 1983, because of the disastrous bombing of the U.S. Marine Corps barracks in Lebanon just 2 days before on October 23rd, 1983. Or like George Bush the First invading Panama in 1989, Kuwait in 1990, and Somalia in 1992 to restore American military prestige. Like the president of Argentina invading the Falkland Islands in 1982 to stay in power by uniting the nation against the United Kingdom. It is a very old strategy, and of course we will use it. So how will the war in Africa spiral out of control? France, the USA, and ECOWAS will invade Niger. So initially, the United Nations, the European Union, the United States, the African Union, and ECOWAS will actually invade Niger. At first, it will involve troops from Nigeria, Benin, and the Ivory Coast fighting troops from Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. This will not be easy because we are not going to liberate these people, but enslave them to their Western masters. Right. Remember, I said that the attitude of the common man in the Sahel is that they want to be free from us and they hate us for what we are doing to them. This war will escalate. So who will at first be on the side of the colonialist masters? The United Nations, United Kingdom, France, European Union, the African Union, the United States, ECOWAS, Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Nigeria, Cameroon, Congo, Brazzaville, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, and Ethiopia. Who will initially be on the side of freedom? Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, and Kenya. You see, this is the whole world involved in this war. Okay. As the war escalates, more nations will get sucked in. On the colonial side will be Morocco, Western Libya, South Africa, because they always put international institutions before their own people's interests. Remember, the South African government is a very woke government. Okay. On freedom side will be Turkey, Algeria, Eastern Libya, Mauritania, Chad, Central African Republic, Eritrea, Uganda, the Congo, Kinshasa, Rwanda, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Namibia. Once the war has spiraled out of control, look for popular uprisings against the governments of Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Ghana, Benin, Togo, Nigeria, Cameroon, Congo, Brazzaville, and South Africa. Eventually, Egypt, Tanzania, and Mozambique will probably come down on the side of Niger also. The first international crisis will be the refugee crisis. I'm going to use the refugee crisis of the 1992 Liberian Civil War as a model, because I don't want to impose Asian or American models of refugees being created on Africa. We should use an African nation as a example. So there would be 750 million internally displaced refugees in Africa. So remember I said they're going to spiral in control and look for popular uprisings against the governments of the colonialist powers? Well, it's that refugee crisis that's going to make that happen. There would be 325 million refugees fleeing to Europe and the United States. The sheer numbers will create havoc in Africa, Europe, and America. These African refugees will destabilize the Western world. Russia and China knows this, okay? Because they're not going to take refugees. It'll be. As you can see, this war is essential to the Great Replacement. The number of African refugees will be equal to the U.S. population. And, of course, the pedophile Biden regime will welcome them all. Famine will follow this refugee crisis. Think this at a time when Western nations have gone about destroying both food production and the supply chains needed to distribute it. Using the 1983-85 famine in Ethiopia as a model, the prediction for famine in Africa will be 45 million dead and 300 million starving. Famine weakens immune systems, so disease or pestilence causes great epidemics that spread through the hungry masses, again based on the Ethiopian model. About 150 million dead from the disease. This can get really out of control, especially when the United States uses bioengineered biological weapons. These diseases can and will inevitably spread out of Africa. How many will be killed in the war from violence? Using the 1992 war in Liberia as a model, there will be about 250 million deaths, and there would be about 500 million wounded people. Okay, and where is Africa's medical ability to deal with even one-thousandth of that.
Africa, before white Europeans went to Africa, the indigenous peoples of Africa never built a two-story building. That is a fact.
Yep. Yep. So
when you talk about healthcare, infrastructure, you're talking about... No. Except that which has been supplied by European countries. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in total, the first year of the war in Africa will kill 445 million Africans. The West will do this because AIDS failed to kill enough Africans in the 80s.
That's true.
Over half of all Africans will be dead or be out of Africa by the end of the first year of the war. The war will not be over in a year. In the second year, we can expect famine and disease to take another 500 million, including many of the wounded that cannot be taken care of.
Right.
Thanks to the Antichrist Macron and the Bolshevik pedophile Biden, Africa will become hell on earth. They thought it would be a quick and easy victory. It will instead spiral out of control. This will hurt the United States and hurt Europe very bad. I actually think France may have a decent intelligence service. Surely they must be able to figure this out, how bad it'll be, and where are all the refugees going to go? They're going to go to Europe, and they're going to come here, you know? On Sunday, France said it was pulling its diplomats out of Nigeria and evacuating French citizens. Macron also said that all French troops would be out by December. Today, the junta in Niger issued a statement, quote, imperialist and neocolonialist forces are no longer welcome in our national territory. The new era of cooperation based on mutual respect and sovereignty is already underway. So let me just point out who they're talking about here. Okay, it is America and it is Europe. It is the West that does not show them any respect. Okay, it is. But see, China and Russia, they'll do business with them, but they're not going to tell them how to live and what to think. So of course, Africans prefer Russia and China because they're not being bullied by them. Okay, so before an actual invasion, France would want to pull its embassy staff out and evacuate French citizens. They would also want Niger to think that it was all over. We will see, okay, because nothing has stopped as far as the buildup of military forces on Nigeria and Benin's border, okay. So today, Chad asked France to close its base at Faye-Largeau and remove its troops from Chadian territory. Is France going to accept coups in Ivory Coast, Senegal, Togo, Benin, Congo-Brazzaville, and a real coup in Gabon? A real coup, not that fake one they had. Are they really going to pull all French troops out of Africa? Is the U.S. ready to lose its base in Agadez in Niger? We will see. Okay, these are important things to us.
Ultimately, so here, Mitch, I hear this whole thing boiling down to it's a depopulation of much of the sub-Saharan African continent to turn it wide open to corrupt leaders who will be in the pockets of European consortiums and so forth to get the resources. They want the resources.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they want, and in the new Africa, what they want to do is instead of giving raw materials to Europe and America, they want to set up factories and make their own stuff and to sell processed stuff to the rest of the world. Because, see, when they sell the raw materials, they're getting a penny on a dollar for it.
Uh-huh.
They could get more if they processed it a little bit further and so forth. So it's something that they want to do. And you know, you can look anywhere in Africa and all you see is slums and, you know, pee and poop on the street and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't have a problem with them trying to improve their lot. I'm okay with that, you know. It's their country. It's their continent, whatever. They should be allowed to figure it out on their own if they can, you know. So let me go to the European theater of war. Okay. The idiot pedophile Biden has crossed every Russian red line. He has sent tanks to Ukraine. He has sent F-16s to Ukraine. And now he has agreed to send long-range attack missiles to Ukraine. These missiles shoot 190 miles. Okay. They can hit anywhere in the occupied areas. Ukraine will use them to strike Russia proper. It's just what they've been doing. Why would they stop? Many of these are equipped with cluster bombs. These attackers are equipped with cluster bombs that Ukraine intentionally uses against Russian civilians. Our government already knows that Ukraine has lost the war. Zelensky wants to declare war on Russia so that he can cancel the presidential elections that would be impossible for him to win. Over 80% of the Ukrainian people hate Zelensky. He has used up all of his U.S. Democratic National Convention tactics. He has jailed all of his opposition candidates, banned all political parties except his own party, and knows that if he is the only one on the ticket, Ukrainians still will not come out and vote for him. Zelensky has even said, well, after this term of presidency, he won't do it anymore. Well, this is who will vote for him, okay? Zelensky has learned that he is no longer an asset to Ukraine. Republicans would not let him address Congress this time. Poland says they will send no more arms to Ukraine, and he is seen as a pest to the EU politicians. Mm-hmm. Personally, he is not liked. The American press now reports more often on so-called Ukrainian victories in the war, victories that are trivial or just plain insignificant. Okay. I mean, they'll make a big news thing about, oh, they killed the commanding admiral of the Black Sea Fleet. Well, you know what? All militaries are set up so that if your general gets killed, there's a general to take his place, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like you're not going to win a war by killing a general. Okay. Yeah.
Did you get any casualty stats on that Black Sea headquarters, which was destroyed?
I think I got like 15 people were killed, right. You know,
yeah.
Which is not very significant. Okay.
Well, I had a note from somebody over there who said that the headquarters had actually been relocated, a substantial portion of it, some time back. So that
may be
the reason for the relatively low number of casualties.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this war will escalate in Ukraine. Putin has said that sending long-range missiles will mean that Russia takes more territory. This is his justification for going west to the Dnieper River and taking Odessa and uniting with Transnistria. So Moldova will end up in the war. They are not a NATO ally, so they are on their own. The U.S. and NATO will still try to stay out of the war. The pedophile Biden regime decided to give Ukraine missiles now because the rainy, muddy season is coming, and the pedophile Biden regime knows that Russia can't really expand their hold until the ground freezes in winter. The U.S. wants this war to go on forever. Russia and the U.S. both know that Ukraine can never win. Both sides know this. The next escalation in the Ukraine war will be when Zelensky declares war on Russia. At that point, Ukraine will use Western long-range missiles to attack Russia proper. Our F-16s will be shot down trying to attack Russia. And our M1 Abrams, they're actually saving those to invade overland into Russia. Okay? That's what they want
to
use them for.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, Ukraine and Russia have not declared war on each other. That's why Ukraine's not supposed to be shooting into Russia, because there's no declaration of war. He wants that declaration of war so he can continue being the great dear leader and stuff, and so he can cancel the elections and just, you know, go ahead and attack Russia, which is all a move of desperation.
It'll be annihilated. Annihilated.
Yeah, this will result in massive bombing of Ukraine, since any ground forces will be stalled by the mud until the ice comes. So the only way Russia can hit them back, really, is just bombardment. And trust me, they haven't done, like, major bombardments. We haven't seen any, like, World War II level carpet bombing.
When you have cities like Odessa, Kharkov, and Kiev, with full water and power and all the amenities of an advanced, culturally responsible city. It's not full war.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing like full warfare.
Well, once again, we have to remember Ukraine and Russia have not declared war on each other. So technically, it's not a war yet. But you have to understand that once Ukraine declares war on Russia, all the kid gloves come off, because now it is war, and under the rules of war, Russia could just go in and clean their clock. There is no restraint, okay, at that point, okay? So NATO will respond by giving even longer-range missiles to Ukraine. This escalation will increase until the war goes nuclear. It is not a matter of if, but of when. While ground forces are limited to summer and winter offenses, nuclear war is not dependent on weather at all. While nuclear blasts at night or during cloudy weather dampens the ability of a nuclear weapon to start secondary fires, which is not such a major factor in targeting because it will be nighttime in half the world and cloudy in many places locally. He who fires first can launch when it is day in most of the enemy territory and night at home. So figuring out the devastation of a nuclear war is easier. In Europe, including Russia, 1 hour into the nuclear war, about 76 million people will perish. Then famine, disease, and anarchy will have killed 688 million by the end of a year without any further military operations. Many will take revenge on their governments for committing national suicide. So we're at a point where people are not going to be very happy about obeying a government that's killed most of their family members. In the United States, about 33 million will die in the first hour, and 297 million will be dead within a year. In Canada, 3.8 million will die in the first hour, and 34 million will die within the first year. It will not be a war just between Russia and NATO. Serbia will go to war in Kosovo. The first shots may have been fired in the past week when Serbian gunmen seized a monastery in a village 55 miles north of Pristina, the Kosovo capital. Serbia has no nuclear targets, but their neighbors like Romania, Bulgaria, Greece, Albania, and Croatia will be targeted. Serbia will seize its old territory back, easily invading northern Macedonia, Kosovo, Montenegro, and Bosnia. Turkey will be able to avoid nuclear strikes on Incirlik Air Force Base if they go in and seize all 51 B-61 nuclear gravity bombs that the United States Air Force has stationed there. Yes, they're still there. Mm-hmm. This would make Turkey a post-nuclear war great military power. Iran, Syria, and Iraq would then invade Israel to solve the Palestinian question. Actually, if they nuke it, there won't be, you know, it's only like, I think, 13 miles from the coast to Tel Aviv. If they just hit Jerusalem, say, most everybody and almost all Palestinians will be dead. So they will be liberated, though. They'll be free. They won't be alive anymore, but they won't be under Israeli control. Armenia and Azerbaijan will also go to war. Georgia will likely be invaded by Russia. In the United States, there will be...
By the way, Mitchell?
Yeah, yes.
Tel Aviv is on the beach.
I think it's 13 miles from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
I think that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. So just a couple nukes will wipe out Israel.
Tel Aviv brags that they have the best beach on the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
So that's their game. Go ahead.
So in the United States, there will be a major civil war because our government has balkanized and divided us over every possible distinction between people. This will happen in Canada, too, because Canada also does the division of people. You know, it's like the most important thing in life in this modern era is your identity, okay? And it's like, and they want everybody to go out and create their own identity. They want you to be a god unto yourself. They want you to be delusional. And I think a lot of people are delusional. Okay. So let me cover the Asian theater of war. in Asia, China will invade Taiwan. To be precise, China will blockade Taiwan and starve it into submission. China's military advantage lays with A2AD, or Anti-Access Area Denial. You see, the PLA Air Force has air bases only 100 miles away from Taiwan, while our air bases in Okinawa are 444 miles away. Our other air bases and logistical supply staging bases are 1,345 miles away in Japan, 1,710 miles away in Guam, 4,739 miles away in Alaska, and 5,220 miles away in Hawaii. China has a various distinct advantage in logistics, and logistics are everything. I mean, their supply bases are 100 miles away. Okay, how can we compete with that? Our Navy has to operate that far away from logistic bases, and China is only a few hours away from any mainland logistics base. Taiwan cannot win, and we cannot help them. China has built up a humongous arsenal of anti-ship missiles that are land-based or carried on sea or air platforms. They can swarm our fleets with these missiles, and we cannot defend against a swarm. In addition, they have built up their submarine fleet to keep any shipping from accessing Taiwanese ports. In this conflict, the United States will launch nuclear weapons first out of desperation. Because remember, we're probably going to be already in a nuclear war with Russia, okay? So if we have to launch on Russia, we will launch on China at the same time, okay? North Korea will launch nuclear weapons whenever they feel like it, okay? So he's the loose cannon in Asia, Mr. Kim Jong-un.
Do you know anything about the story that he offered to send 300 to 500,000 North Korean military to aid the Russian efforts against Ukraine, European, U.S., U.K., Ukraine? 300 to 500,000.
Well, yeah, he can do that.
But it was supposedly the offer was made. Yeah, I know they can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they have the troops to do it. Not only that, but see, when Kim sends those 500,000 troops to Russia, what he's also looking at is who's going to be putting the bill for their food and medicine and stuff like that, okay?
No,
so it'll
right.
be a plush job for the North Korean soldiers. They'd probably be happy to go. They'll be eating better, that's for sure. So so this war will have Russia, North Korea, and China on one side, and South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand on the other side. This war will start out conventional but end up going nuclear when America fails miserably. I would estimate that in the first month, 354 million people will perish, and at the end of the year, about 1.592 billion will have perished. This will depopulate Asia. Okay. A second war in Asia will pit Pakistan against India, with secondary wars between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. Mm-hmm. This will go nuclear. It will go nuclear after India rapidly invades Pakistan with conventional forces, overwhelming them. In the first month, about 180 million people will die, and 1.6 billion will perish by the end of the first year. So this is the apocalypse we're talking about. It's not going to be contained. It's not going to be pretty, okay? My figures are realistic and conservative. Remember that this is the final wars, the end times. I am not including the Battle of Armageddon, which will come later. If you read the apocalypse, you can see in general that it will be the very worst time for humanity in our history. It will be worse than you can possibly imagine. The World Economic Forum already has a government in waiting, the Antichrist government. The apocalypse is their transformational crisis to get into power. What do you need to survive what's coming? Well, first, faith in God. Second, I would have some gas masks because you need air, but not to inhale radioactive particles and all the toxins created by our burning world. This war and all of the pollution that it creates will not destroy the world. There will be no global warming that will extinguish life. The third is water. The fourth is shelter. The fifth is food. The sixth is tools. used to get air, water, shelter, and food. And the seventh, weapons to keep your life and your food. Okay. So let me just add something here to understand about the burning fires, because a lot is going to burn. I mean, you know, a lot of places will burn. If you burn like wood, plant material, lumber, stuff like that, it just produces carbon dioxide.
Okay. Sure.
And it's not bad. But we live in a plastic world, and many plastics are based on the polymerization of a organic chloride, like vinyl chloride or something like that. Like PVC is polyvinyl chloride, okay? So when this stuff burns, the key thing is the chlorine in it. When plastics burn, you get phosgene gas. So whereas the carbon dioxide itself, like if you just inhale a little carbon dioxide, you know, everybody's stood around a fire before and inhaled some smoke. You know,
of
you
course.
Usually move out
yes.
of the smoke's way.
Sure.
But that same smoke, if it's burning plastic, will kill you. The phosgene will go into your lungs. You'll inhale it. You won't notice anything right away, but about 5-6 hours later, maybe even a couple of days later, your lungs are going to fill with fluid, and you'll just suffocate to death, okay? Because this is what phosgene does to you. And it was the major killer in World War I. That killed more people than any other chemical reagent was the phosgene gas. So it's very easy to make. You just burn an organic chloride, and bam, you have phosgene gas. So a good example of this is, for example, carbon tetrachloride. That's just got a carbon and four chloride atoms on it. They used to use it for fire extinguishers, but then they found out that if you put carbon tetrachloride onto a fire, it won't burn. It'll heat that up and change it chemically into phosgene gas. That's why they quit using carbon tetrachloride in fire extinguishers. Okay, so be careful what you breathe.
They used to use it also in dry cleaning, if I'm remembering.
Oh, yes, it's used in dry cleaning. And they like it because it's not flammable, okay? But it has many other problems with it and stuff. I mean, when you look at the modern world that they want to create, this George Jetson world of the future that they want to make for us, okay? It's like everything that they do is filthy dirty. Okay, if you go down to the chip plants where they're making these chips for all this electronics and computer and all this stuff, they have these rooms where they have to dope the silicon with arsine gas or germane gas. There's many very, these gases are deadly gases. If they ever leaked out of the plant and over a populated area, they're going to kill everybody. Okay,
right.
So they're playing with fire. Even they even use those gases to make the solar panels. Okay, they're used in that. So it's like the whole process is a very filthy process. And then the batteries that they store things on, I mean, a lot of these batteries are lithium thionyl chloride batteries. Well, thionyl chloride is just a sulfur and oxygen and chloride, two chlorides, I think. And when you burn it, it makes phosgene gas. So if you're driving around your Tesla and you have a crash and your car catches on fire, get away from the smoke. If you inhale that smoke, it can kill you. Okay, and these toxins that they're making, many of these are only made by people. Nature doesn't really make these chemicals, and when they get into nature, they're forever pollutants. They never leave. They're always there. You know what? If you burn oil, what do you get? You get carbon dioxide. You don't get phosgene gas. You don't get any of this other stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So. So, you know, there's just a lot of hypocrisy going on here. I mean, they're trying to pretend like this modern world, this new green world they're building, is a cleaner world. They even call it a green world. It's not green.
Yes,
this is toxic, filthy crap,
no.
And it's all based on that. So,
that's right.
You know,
right.
Anyways, we have that to face up to and stuff. So
there's go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's some real chatter out there amongst mm-hmm. remote viewers, Dick yeah. Allgaier's group, and maybe some mm-hmm. others, that something very big is going to happen by the end of the year. And that's October, November, December. That's 90 days, okay? It's not long. What do you suggest? Limited nuclear exchange and then an ultimatum? Russia is demanding. Putin is going to suffer in the polls if the polls are even remotely correct. Mm-hmm. The people are very upset there in Russia now. They want an ultimatum given to the West. And the discussion continues in Russia about the advisability of perhaps preemptively striking several key decision-making centers of the U.S., mm-hmm. U.K., NATO triumvirate, like Brussels, Paris, London, the Pentagram, I don't know.
You have to look at it from the point of just a military point of view. It's like so that'd be like firing a 22 caliber rifle at a nation with millions of high powered rifles and stuff and machine
right.
guns. Okay,
right.
So it's
right.
not a practical thing to limited exchange is a distraction. Okay, nobody would ever do that. Okay, mm-hmm. we could do it on Japan because, well, nobody else but us had nuclear bombs, so it wasn't an issue back then. We could slowly just bomb cities to city until we got our results.
Except we think
is gone.
There's good evidence that Germany had atomic bombs and Hitler refused to use them.
Well, you know, Hitler also refused to use chemical
gas?
Weapons and stuff.
Okay. He wouldn't use gas,
yeah.
none of it. No,
he didn't want to use it because he had to go through that in World War I personally, and
yeah.
he did not like it. You know, not only that, but he just thought it was not humane.
Well, he should have had a Purple Heart. He was wounded, of course.
Yeah. So you know, the thing is when they launch, everybody's got to launch. Nobody's going to launch everything they got, because you got to save some for follow-on, okay? But you're going to have to take out all the major targets right away, okay? Because what you don't shoot, they're going to shoot at you, okay? And we've gone over this before, but Russia's better placed. Now they have shelters for all of their people, and we have shelters for the pedophiles yeah. in Washington, D.C. That's who we have shelters for.
Oh, well said.
A bunch
well
of pedophiles,
said.
You know.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and you also have to look at moral force, okay? The moral force is, you know, the United States is decadent, is immoral, is evil, okay? I mean, anybody who wants to have sex with their kids is an evil person, okay? That's where the American government stands for the most, is having sex with people's kids, okay?
Unbelievable.
They want to make your kids into LGBT kids. They want
yes,
that
do.
To happen. Okay.
We're coming for your children, remember. We're after your
oh,
kids.
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah. Hey, listen, I even saw these I saw these things. They gathered up these Gen Z kids, you know, who they want to be in the military and stuff. And they asked, well, how do you perceive what you'll be doing if you join the military? And what they said is, well, do they want to die? Do they want to join the military and die for abortions? Do they want to join the military and die for sodomy? Do they want to join the military and die for LGBT rights everywhere? Do they want to join the... In other words, when they're looking at what the United States stands for, they're like, well, why would we want to die for any of these things? Because nobody is in the Army now to support the Constitution. Okay? They're not there for
no.
that. And they're not there
nope.
to support the country. They're there yeah. for abortion, for LGBT rights, for wokeness. That's what they're there for. And that's what they're going to fight and die for. And that's why Gen Z doesn't want to do it. Like last time, I think I talked that Russia has half the population, yet they could get 300,000 recruits. These are not drafted. These are people joining.
Right.
They could
right.
get that easy. They have to turn people away from the recruiters. in Ukraine, everybody's fleeing from the recruiters because they're going to die. Like 80% to 90% of everybody who joins is going to die. So they don't want to do it. And the United States, I think we can only get something like 230,000 recruits. And we have twice the population that Russia has. So just do the math, you know. Who do you think's going to win? Well, ultimately, nobody will win, but it's going to be a mess, you know.
I concur. Well stated and well said. We'll all find out fairly soon. Time
oh,
is
yes.
running. Thanks a lot, Mitch. Good job.
Okay, you're welcome.
All righty, take care. Mitchell Henderson. All right, we will be back with you tomorrow on Tuesday. Have a good night and a safe day tomorrow. Talk soon.